Assessing risk for OHP. From the IPC perspective, the goal of occupational health is to promote a safe and healthy environment. Healthcare workers should also be aware of any potential hazards. An OHP should be used to educate HCP about biohazards to which they may be occupationally exposed, the types of exposures that place their health at risk, the nature and significance of such risks, appropriate first aid and follow-up for potential exposures. The risk of occupational exposure may vary by job classification and role. HCP who may be exposed to highly pathogenic agents, such as in a clinical research lab, should receive a pre-placement medical evaluation. The evaluation should be provided by the HCP supervisor and be guided by a description of the requirements for the position and an understanding of the potential health hazards present in the work environment. During the performance of their work duties, healthcare personnel can be occupationally exposed to a variety of infectious diseases and may be at increased risk of contamination and infection. IPs need to follow existing regulations and recommendations to ensure the safety of the healthcare environment and the protection of healthcare workers, patients, and visitors against infectious agents. Assessing risk of occupational exposure to infectious diseases. Though exposure risk may arise through many avenues, two important routes of exposure occur through the bloodborne and airborne methods. It is especially important to understand the risk factors that facilitate the transmission of infectious diseases along these routes, as it helps the facility determine when additional interventions are necessary due to the presence of an infected patient. In some jurisdictions, regulations mandate that specific actions be taken when HCP are exposed to BBP or airborne transmission. Exposure to blood, bodily fluids, and other potentially infectious materials. HCP are at risk for infections by bloodborne pathogens, BBP, which are infectious microorganisms in human blood that can cause disease in humans. These pathogens include hepatitis B, HBV, hepatitis C, HCV, and human immunodeficiency virus, HIV. HCP might be exposed to these pathogens in the healthcare setting in several ways, including percutaneous injury, for example, needle sticks and other sharps injuries, and exposure to non-intact skin or mucous membranes, such as splashes and sprays. The potential for contact with blood, bodily fluids, and other potentially infectious materials, OPIMs, including secretions and excretions, is greatest when HCP have direct patient contact or when working in a laboratory setting. Direct contact can occur because of contact with blood and bodily fluids, especially when appropriate barrier precautions are not followed. These precautions help prevent the spread of infection to others. Example, precautions for a major draining wound to protect from potentially infectious organisms. Malfunctioning or defective personal protective equipment, PP, or PPE that is not worn appropriately. HCP failure to identify risk and the need for PPE. Example, a patient has herpes zoster on their back, but the need for gloves is not communicated to the respiratory therapist before chest physical therapy is initiated, resulting in exposure, or the therapist fails to use gloves to prevent the transmission of a multi-drug-resistant organism, EMDRO. Inadequate HH or failure to use PPE such as gloves and gowns, which allows for the transmission of enteric illnesses such as hepatitis A, HAV, norovirus, or C, difficile spores. Relevant healthcare regulations typically apply to all occupational exposures from blood and other bodily fluids. IPs should fully understand the various components of BBP standards, including training and documentation requirements. Although most facilities voluntarily comply with precautions that are considered evidence-based best practices, some agency regulations mandate additional guidelines, such as developing a BBP exposure control plan to eliminate or minimize exposure, providing BBP exposure control training sessions for all employees at hire and then no less than annually thereafter, maintaining accurate and confidential records related to personnel training, vaccination, and management of exposures. Common considerations to minimize the risk of BBP exposure in a healthcare setting include universal precautions. Under normal circumstances, an individual does not know if a sample collected from a patient or a laboratory sample contains a bloodborne pathogen. HCP should treat these situations as if they were known to be infectious at all times. Availability of PPE. PPE supplies should be stored in accessible locations to encourage proper use. Additionally, new hire and ongoing employee education programs should include all elements supported by evidence-based best practices. Use of safety-engineered SHARPS devices. HCP should practice with each device before use on patients. The IP should solicit input from staff about how the device functions. Location of SHARPS disposal containers. SHARPS containers should be accessible at the point of SHARPS use to avoid transporting SHARPS over a long distance. SHARPS and other contaminated materials should be stored and maintained in a manner that increases HCP and patient safety. Proper disposal of used razors. To avoid risk of a SHARPS injury, the protective plastic cover on a disposable razor should not be replaced. Cleaning and disinfection of common use items. An approved hospital disinfectant with an HIV or HBV label claim should be used for commonly used equipment, including textiles/linens, such as blood glucose meters and any surfaces that are potentially contaminated with blood or other potentially infectious bodily substances. Facilities should clean and disinfect equipment according to manufacturer's instructions for use, IFU. Separate handling and storage of clean and soiled items. Soiled items should be bagged at the location of use. Both clean and soiled items should be separately and safely transported. Clean items should be stored per facility guidelines. Biohazard waste. The nature of contaminated waste should be communicated to HCP by affixing appropriate labels bearing biohazard symbols. HBV vaccination. All employees, after receiving relevant education on BBPs, should be offered HBV vaccination. It should also be available to all employees at risk for exposure within 10 days of a potential exposure incident. Post-exposure follow-up within the prescribed time periods. Potential HIV exposures should be treated within 2 hours of an exposure incident. Testing should be offered to HCP who are exposed to an infectious agent to determine the presence of the organism and provide the staff member with follow-up treatment and counseling. Airborne transmission and HCPs. The spread of infection due to organisms that are suspended in the air, airborne transmission, is of particular concern for HCP, especially when they enter an environment in which someone has such a disease. These airborne organisms can remain in the air for long periods of time and can travel great distances due to their small size. Moreover, HCP need not have direct contact with an individual infected with an airborne disease to become infected themselves. They may still be exposed even when not providing direct patient care. Airborne transmission of microorganisms, such as tuberculosis, TB, is, therefore, a potential risk for HCP when a patient with an airborne disease is not promptly recognized and isolated in a negative air pressure isolation room. An employee does not use appropriate respiratory protection when caring for a patient in an isolation room. Another healthcare provider has an unrecognized airborne infection and reports to work. A visitor entering the facility is infected with an airborne disease. Ventilation is inadequate and carries air from an isolation room to other areas of a facility. The ventilation system is contaminated with an infectious agent. Across all industries, recording and reporting standards for occupational injuries and illnesses include TB. Although aggressive control methods have resulted in fewer cases in the United States in recent years, TB infections remain a global concern. By appropriately diagnosing and treating TB, HCP can help to prevent its spread in healthcare settings and communities at large. An effective TB policy must include certain IPC measures, conduct a TB risk assessment for the facility, distribute a written TB IPC plan to detect, isolate, and treat suspected or confirmed TB cases, develop and implement a respiratory protection program, use respirators when needed, train HCP on respiratory protection and patients and visitors on respiratory hygiene and cough etiquette. Use signs advising proper IPC practices. Example, respiratory hygiene and cough etiquette. Ensure proper cleaning and disinfection of contaminated equipment. Implement controls to prevent and reduce the concentration of infectious droplet nuclei. Example, appropriate ventilation, high-efficiency particulate air, HEPA, filtration, and ultraviolet germicidal irradiation. Make testing and reporting, test results, available to the infection control and ordering provider. Consulting on the use of alternative prevention options. HCP are exposed to a variety of environmental agents, cleaning products, PPE, and HH products, to name but a few. the healthcare worker may experience an adverse reaction to PPE, including gloves and masks, as well as standard hand-washing products, gels, and lotions. These reactions may include allergies, asthma exacerbations, dermatitis, or other adverse symptoms. IPC staff must work collaboratively with the employee health department to identify alternatives to protect both patients and HCP. Examples of alternative prevention options include alternative HH products for HCP with confirmed allergies or adverse reactions to standard products, special masks or gloves for persons with allergies or dermatitis, reassignment to other areas of the healthcare facility if HCP experience adverse reactions to specific procedures or tasks in a particular area. HCP should report any findings to employee health to be evaluated. In some cases, severe dermatitis or other skin conditions may require that the employee be restricted from duty until the condition is resolved and suitable alternatives are tested.